This morning from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. And we're going to start to read at verse 12, reading through verse 19. And this is God's word to us. At that time, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all of his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to the king Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came from Babylon." And the prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "Well, they saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." And then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime?" May God bless the reading of his word. This is indeed the word of the Lord. God is mighty. God is mighty. That was the meaning of his name. And in the life of Hezekiah, this was proven over and over again. God is mighty. It was seen in the mighty army of Sennacherib was encamped around the city of Jerusalem. That army had destroyed, utterly stripped the land of Judah in order to supply his mighty army. And now as he approached the city of Jerusalem, he prepared to besiege it with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of soldiers. He would not have come if Hezekiah had become his ally. If Hezekiah had given Sennacherib the tribute that he wanted. If Hezekiah had allowed himself to become the puppet or the pawn in this powerful hand of the Assyrian nation. The land of Judah would still be green and fruitful, not lying desolate because of the plunder of Sennacherib's army. And nor would that powerful army be encamped outside the city, preparing to bring death and terror to the citizens of Judah. If Hezekiah had followed the example of his predecessors, there would have been no fear in the hearts of his people that night. But Hezekiah had remained faithful to his God. He had made an alliance not with Sennacherib, but with his God. For you see, God is mighty. That was the meaning of his name. And so that night, God sent an angel of death through the camp of Sennacherib, and 185,000 men were slain. And Sennacherib returned to Assyria. God proved that he was forever a God of might. The might of God was also proven in the personal life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became very, very sick. And Isaiah came to him and told him to put his house in order, for he was going to die. But Hezekiah would not accept that. So he prayed fervently for God to spare him. And we read that before Isaiah had gone out of the court, the word of the Lord had come to him and said, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. And behold, I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life." So Hezekiah recovered because he had relied upon the strength of the Lord. For you see, God is mighty. And yet there is a third event in the life of Hezekiah that we cannot pass by. For during that illness, Hezekiah had asked for a sign to secure the promise that he would in fact be healed. And what followed is one of the most astonishing events recorded in the Old Testament. Isaiah gave Hezekiah a choice. You want a sign? What kind of sign do you want? You want to have that sundial, the shadow go forward 10 steps on that sundial, or do you want it to go back 10 steps? Now, just figure out the reasoning of Hezekiah. You see, it's easy for that shadow to go forward because that's the normal way that the shadow is going to go. And therefore, he says, I want that shadow to go back 10 steps. I mean, isn't that something, just how casual they talk about such an amazing thing before God? Here they are discussing what would be a good sign and for Hezekiah to be assured that God would keep his promise of healing him. And maybe Isaiah saw that sundial out there in the garden and he suggested that the sign could be that that shadow either go forward or back. The sundial was the type of timepiece they had in those days. And we all know that it would be impossible to have that shadow go back. You know, it's not like when we get to daylight savings time in the fall, we simply turn the clock back an hour. That's not like this. He wanted to see if God could turn back the shadow on that sundial. And so we read, Isaiah cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which the sun had declined on the steps of Ahaz. God did it. God did it. Somehow, in some way, God set the time back 10 steps. Now, that's an astonishing miracle. For to do that, the earth had to stand still on its rotation. God is mighty. God is mighty. To prove that Hezekiah was going to be healed and given 15 more years, God stopped the earth. The might and power and grace of God was evident in Hezekiah's life. They showed that God was mighty enough to defeat any army and concerned enough to heal one of his faithful followers, and powerful enough to use natural law so that he could give that follower a sign. Wow. God is mighty. But then look at what happens in the next event in Hezekiah's life. Well, these events were so miraculous that they became known throughout the world. And as a result, the king of Babylon sent some envoys with gifts to Hezekiah. After hearing what had happened to Sennacherib's army, hearing about the recovery of Hezekiah from his fatal illness, and that miracle of the sundial, the king of Babylon thought to himself, I need Hezekiah as an ally. And as what can be seen from what follows the narrative of God's word, Hezekiah was flattered by all of this attention. Hezekiah willingly opened his house to those envoys, and he brought them and showed everything in his house. He showed them the precious silver and gold and spices and the precious oil. And then he opened the house of armor and all that was found in his treasury. And he was so proud. Can't you just see him leading these delegates from Babylon from room to room? And then he would tell them about the history behind this object and that object. And he would come to a treasury chest and he would open it slowly and kind of dramatically and have a proud smile. And he showed these people what was in there. And he told a little bit about the history and how he got these things. I mean, after each new discovery, those delegates probably were saying, oh, wow, oh, you mean that's yours? Oh, how beautiful. Look at that. There was nothing in his house or in all of his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Well, soon Isaiah was at his door. There he was, the prophet of God. And I want you to notice the reply that Hezekiah gave to Isaiah's questions. Isaiah said, where did they come from? And Hezekiah said, they have come from the far country. They have come from Babylon. And with that answer, you begin to see the content of Hezekiah's heart. For we hear the pride and the sense of honor that is betrayed in his words of emphasis. They came from a far country. They came from Babylon. These men came to see me and all my treasures. And so Isaiah asked that question, well, what have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house they have seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And right away we sense that something is missing in his answer to Isaiah. I've shown them all that I possess. I showed them all my treasures. And then we realize that he forgot to show them the real treasure of his house. And that's the richness of the meaning of his name, that God is mighty. Hezekiah showed them everything except God. And that's why Isaiah's question brought out the true content of the heart of Hezekiah. What have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah, by his reply, confessed that his house showed only his self-centeredness. It showed only his materialistic bent. He showed them the display of worthless earthly possessions. For he sought in these treasures the admiration and envy of other men. He showed them everything in his house but God. Can you imagine? A man who had been delivered from Sennacherib's army, a man who had miraculously been cured of a fatal illness, a man who had received a sign of God's promise that literally stopped the world, still sought the admonition and the favor of men and failed to tell them about the might of his God. What an opportunity he had to tell them of his real, of the real treasure of Israel. What an opportunity he had to tell about the God who is living instead of being an idol like the gods around them. Just the opportunity he had to say, my God is the God that created the world with his might. My God is the God that delivered my people from the land of Egypt out of slavery by the might of his arm. My God is the God that provided for my people in the wilderness by sending manna from heaven and water from a rock. My God is the God that led us through that wilderness with a pillar of fire. My God delivered me from my death by the might of his hand. Oh, what an opportunity he had to tell them of the real treasure of Israel. But he failed. He only showed them earthly possessions and earthly treasures. And the prophet Isaiah said, Hezekiah, soon the destruction of Judah by the very hands of the people that came from Babylon will take everything you have away. For they do not last, they cannot last. They will not last. Isaiah confronted Hezekiah with the reality of his faith in God that was not shown in the contents of his house. Obviously, it leads me to ask, as Isaiah would ask, what do people who come to your house see? And what is the message that they receive? When we open the doors of our homes, to what do our homes testify? Hezekiah showed a preoccupation with the treasures of the earth. His walls scream condemnation upon his materialistic heart. For all that he had one purpose, and that was to win the admiration and envy of other men. His home had become a testimony to his materialism. His home had become a testimony to his lack of a Godward-directed life. As he paraded his treasures before visitors, he knew that the more they saw, the more they would be impressed with his wealth. Do our homes point to what should be the very center of our lives? Hezekiah experienced the might of God three times in his life, and yet his lifestyle only showed a heart that was focused on the treasures of the world. Oh, dear fellow believers, just think about what Jesus has done for us. How he left the riches of his glory to come a humble spirit as a servant among us, a humble servant as a servant among us. That God in Jesus Christ defeated the evil one, conquered death, clothed us with his righteousness, assures us of everlasting life, calls on us to look forward to life after death. That through his sacrificial atonement, we have become citizens of his kingdom and bearers of his cross, called to be sacrificial servants in our world today. And that means that our home should become a physical testimony to that relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. That they should be a physical illustration of what we hold dear in our hearts. And they ought to be a clear demonstration that we understand what it means to be a part of Christ's kingdom. That we are but pilgrims upon this planet, and we are called to sacrificial service. And our home should be a testimony to our expectation that Jesus is going to come again, and a recognition of the urgency of praying to him, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31, we read concerning this event in Hezekiah's life that God left him to himself to test him and to discover all that was in his heart. The wealth that Hezekiah enjoyed was a test for his heart. And we see that he failed because he had had a lot of treasures, and he took pride in those treasures. And in the most personal areas of his life, his witness to the meaning of his name, that God is mighty, was absent. Have we ever considered that the prosperity that we enjoy today is a test for us as well? That even though we are given the Holy Spirit in our heart, we still understand that the most important part of our life is to direct people to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our home should be part of that testimony. Do our homes indicate our real treasure? Do our homes indicate the true focus of our life? Our homes and the things we possess should testify to who we are in Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about some knickknacks on a shelf or a little plaque with some saying about Jesus. Everything in our life, including our home, and all the possessions, must reflect our love for Jesus. They should speak to others about what great things God has done for us through Jesus Christ. They should emphasize our pilgrimage and shout out to our neighbors that we are stewards of God's resources, and we must manifest our sacrifice for the gospel. And what we possess should be saying to our neighbors, "Repent and believe, for the time is short." Amen. Father, so often we reflect what was in the heart of Hezekiah because you have blessed us with many things and beautiful homes. We are able to fill those homes with many treasures. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you will help us to realize again that we are to be reflecting our relationship to Jesus Christ in all that we possess and all that we have, so that others see that we understand what it means to be a citizen of His kingdom, what it means to be living a sacrificial life, what it means to be looking for the return of our Savior. Heavenly Father, we just ask for Your forgiveness when the things of this world are too important in our life. And we ask that Your Spirit will help us to fulfill Your calling, the fact that we are to be looking for the return of Christ, praying for His coming, and eagerly anticipating His return. We pray this in our Savior's name and for His sake. Amen.